in your Bible, if you will, to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, and I'm going to take a little while very quickly tonight and try to set the phrase of what we're talking about when we mention the idea of living the mission. And I've mentioned to you the three subjects that I want to do with you. Last night, the subject was living the mission by loving the world. And that's John 3:16. But God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, and you know the rest of the story. Now let's talk about living the mission. That's living the mission by loving the world. Living. How many of us take a look at our calendar and say, well, this week looks like it's got 7 days in it. Here's what I'm doing. I look at some of the subjects of the week and I say, I choose this week to live on Monday morning, Wednesday midday, Saturday night, and I'll figure all day Sunday. And the other parts of the time, I don't think I'll live. And you say, Alderman, do you realize what you're talking about? And the answer is, yes, I'm fully aware of what I'm talking about. Because when we talk about living the mission, what I've observed in Christian churches throughout the United States is that a lot of us say we're going to live this mission only during the missions conference time for missionaries in town. Then we'll live the mission, or if we get a new book on missions, I'll live the mission. And you get the idea that living the missions is not something you can chop out a piece of life in order to live the mission during that little chopped out piece of life. Missions conference day is a good time to live the mission. But Halloween may not be, and etc. Now let's get serious about this matter of living the mission. If we are belonging to Christ, we're going to live the mission by loving as Jesus Christ loved us. You get up in the morning, you've had a nightmare in the process of the evening, and you're really beaten down and everything, and you realize you get up in the morning, it's going to be a tough day, you're going to relive that nightmare all over the place. And you look up and you say, Jesus, I need you today. How about love me really good today? But then another morning you wake up and you got something else on the agenda and you know Jesus is not going to like that one. And you say, Jesus, take the day off. I can get along without you today. In fact, I'd rather you be absent. The reason I'm telling you these ridiculous stories is to get us to understand how ridiculous we are when we think we can take a break from living the mission. This is a 24-hour-a-day opportunity. This is an every-day-of-the-week opportunity. This is an every-second-of-the-rest-of-my-life opportunity that I, as a child of God, have the opportunity never to take time out for dying the mission. And our Lord set the example. Live the mission by loving as God the Father has loved us. I have no permission from God to ever quit loving the world in that sense. But then there's another thing that shows up. There's a time when the Bible comes back and adjusts our thinking on some things. And I want you to read about it in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. And answer a few questions about this matter of what happens to us. John 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Here we go. Love not the world. Now, what in the world's going on here? John chapter 3, verse 16. Our Father says, love the world. God so loved the world. Said a little bit last night. Just scratched a little bit of the surface on how God loved the world. And I wanted to encourage you all to keep raising the question. So, how did God love the world? We looked at it quickly last night. God loved the world when He built a creation that would speak of Him. Psalm chapter 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows. Do you remember that study last night? Get it memorized if you didn't. And every time you and I see the way God created the earth, keeping in mind, God loved me so much that He surrounded me with the creation that He had given. So that creation never takes a break from telling me about the love of God. And if you haven't got on to that, I would strongly recommend that we settle the issue. Until you escape the reality of the creation that declares the glory of God, you keep living the mission without a break, because God is saying, day unto day utter speech, night unto night shows knowledge. There's no speech, no language. But you remember that. That's a quick review, and I hope you got this. But then along comes, and that's a part of the ways of how God says, live the mission by loving the world the way I love the world. He has a problem. There is a way to love the world that spits in the face of God. You've been around this earth long enough to know that there's a dirty part to the world. It's all over the place. And if you don't believe what the Bible says about the world in itself as an enemy of God, all you need to do is watch an evening newscast and you'll be convinced forever. Or read the daily newspapers. Or see what's happening in the minds of our young people and old people alike. And that's why my Bible comes back and says, don't love the world. Now get this message clearly. There is a John 3:16 way to love the world. Keep that in mind. Always spend the rest of your life asking the question, God, teach me one more thing today about how you love the world so I can love the world the way you did. And when we love the world the way Christ did, we get involved in loving the world by giving and sharing the message of hope and life eternal. That's how we ought to love the world. We heard Montana talk tonight about the Hindus all over. We're talking about the Muslims. We're talking about the pagans. We're talking about the people who never have heard the gospel of Christ. And the John 3:16 way of loving the world is to love those people. And the John 3:16 way of loving the world is making sure those of us who know the Christ of God, we make sure we get the message to them. Now, love not the world is a kind of enemy to what God did in John 3:16, and the Bible raises this issue. Now, this is foundational to living the mission. And we got to keep this one in mind, because loving the world in the 1 John 2, verse 15 matter is the enemy of helping us live the mission. And I want to take a look at that matter and let us see again what it means to love not the world. Now this is a tough one, because the minute agrees we are saturated 24 hours a day with drawing our attention to loving the world improperly as an enemy of God. Now, I think you get the idea here already. Because we are attracted to this world around us. It's cramming its ungodliness down our throats. It's taking everything it can with all of the appeal that it can muster in the category of evil and pulling the minds and the hearts out of those of us who claim to be children of God. It's causing pastors to go into the depth of ungodliness and immorality. It's causing professing Christians who are sitting in the pews or teaching in the classes. It's causing seminary and Bible college professors to misbehave in an ungodly way because somehow something got into them that caused them to love the world in the 1 John 2 verse 15 way and to forget all about the John 3:16 way. So you get the idea. There is an enemy that is after your attention and after your passion. And you say, well, that's the pornographer bunch, that's the kind of entertainment bunch, that's the gambling bunch, that's the... The tragedy of 1 John 2:15 is that it is taking over so much of professing Christianity in our nation today and in our world. We're drawn to it. We're throwing in the towel of loving the world, John 3:16 with, and loving the world, 1 John 2:15 way. Now, my Bible mentions three things that will happen, and I only use these three things to try to scare the living daylights out of you ever loving the world in the improper way. So you got your Bible open to 1 John 2:15? I want you to look at it. I'm not making these up. We don't need anybody to make them up. They are right there for us to understand. Listen to this one. 1 John 2:15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. You've got a broad category. Don't love the world, don't love the things that are in the world. Now, number one, this is what love in the world will do. If any man, that's part of verse 15, if any man love the world, here's a shocker. Here's a real shocker. If any man love the world, fill in the blanks. Read it up, if you don't mind, please. If any man love the world, read the rest of the verse.
The love of the Father is not in him.
Okay, now all on the count of three, let's read it at the same time. How about that? It may make more sense. If any man love the world, the
love of
the Father is not in him. How dare that Bible tell me that the love of the Father is not in me? That's nasty. You don't have a right to tell me that. Even if you are the Bible, you don't have a right to tell me that if I love the world, the love of the Father is not in me. We know that the love of the Father covers everybody, and we're all children of God, and we're all going to heaven. I don't like that verse. I that just because I'm attracted to the things of the earth and I begin to put my passion and compassion and my attention and my time and my talents and all of that and showing that love for this ungodly world because I don't want to be accepted in culture, the Bible says, go ahead for it, but I want to tell you this, if you go for that, the love of God is not in you. That's a frightening thing. It's not a matter of a little fuzzy was a choice in you. It's a matter of saying you choose to love God and love the world the way John 3:16 does, or God pulls back His love from your life and mine. You say, Alderman, you're getting right serious about this. Wonder why. I don't know about you, but I relish the love of God. Do you? Do you relish your children being raised in the truth of the vitality of the love of God being available? Well, what's the Bible say? The Bible says if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. But I thought the love of the Father was sort of automatic for all of us who did good in life. No. You attach your life to this worldly system, and God says, I detach my life from your heavenly opportunities. So, well, isn't that radical Christianity? If it's not radical, it ain't Christian. John 3:16 is probably one of the most radical statements you'll ever hear in life. And God says, let's get radical. Let's get radical. You understand how I love you, and you understand how I don't want you to love the world. So the love of the Father, or the love of the world in the wrong way, prohibits the possession of the Father's love. You heard it from the mouth of Jesus when he said this. No servant can serve two masters. You can't love the world in John 3:16 fashion if you love the world in 1 John 2:15 fashion. Jesus said you just can't do that. That's two masters. You leave the master of John 3:16 and go for the master of 1 John 2. You've violated all of God's word of truth about love. Very minute that I spend time in 1 John 2:15 of love in the world, I'm not living the mission. Simple as that. Living the mission, not all that complicated. It's living in the love of the world with understanding that the love of the world is all things. We go to the next thing that we pick up in John in this matter of not loving the world. Look at it in verse 16, if you will. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. Let me put it down in some language we can easily understand. And this is what takes a dagger in our hands and plunges it into the heart of God. For to love the world violates the purity of the Father's heart. I'm glad that my Lord did not send a sin-ridden, Savior, to be my Savior. One of the things that you and I hold foundational to our saving faith is that our Father sacrificed a lamb without blemish, a life without spot or wrinkle. And he lets us know, I have given to you my spotless Son. I have given to you out of the essence of my purity. And 1 John 2 verse 16 says this, to love the world violates the purity of the Father's heart. For all that is in the world, and then he lists the three complete list of the lust of ungodliness that's in the world. The very minute that I choose not to live the mission is the minute that I choose to submerge myself in the lust of life, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. You say, all of them, that puts sin off limits. Guess who did that? Who came up with the idea that sin for us human beings, with lust in our eyes and lust in our total life, ought to be off limits? You see, one of the things that really combats living the mission is that for every second I spend in 1 John 2:16 is a minute that I take my mind, my heart, my effort off of the very purpose of John 3:16. You get the idea of what this Bible is all about? And you say, well, Oldman, that doesn't leave us time to do anything else. If I've got to love God every minute of my life, well, before you make a hard and fast conclusion on that, how would you like to approach one moment in your life when God took his mind off of you? That'd be Friday. God, please don't ever take your mind off of me. I need you every second of every day, of every piece of life I ever have. Please don't ever take your mind off of me. And he says, okay, Alderman, I'll make you a deal. I won't take my mind off of you if you fill in the blank. Anybody brave enough to fill in the blank? If you don't
take your mind off of me.
That's why my Bible says you don't get involved in 1 John 2:15 of loving the world that way. The greatest enemy today of living the mission in obedience to a loving Christ who's had a Father who sent him on mission to reach us, the greatest deterrent to that mission is us as his children getting involved in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, of loving the world, and chapter 2, verse 16, of violating the purity of the Father's heart. Does that make sense? Well, that means we've got to be very careful. We are a minority. We are few in number. We talk missions. We talk about living in missions. And we come and we feel so good because, yeah, we are. We're willing to be involved in missions. But my Bible is saying to us, how much time did you spend today, Alderman, with your mind concentrated on loving this world and what it has to offer? Now, the third thing that the Bible brings up about this matter of loving the world, and I want you to look at it, if you will, in verse 17. There's a clear warning. Listen, the world passes away. The world passes away. Alderman, if you spend one moment loving the world, I need to tell you in advance, it's not the last. The world passes away. Let's go on in verse 17. And even the lusts thereof, the things that just got into your life and drew out your passion to love what the world offers. And you got your mind and your heart off of the passion with which I've loved you. Now, keep in mind, that pull of the world and that lust of life, that's passing away. It's going to disappear. And you're going to attach your life to that you already know is defeated and done for? Why don't you choose to live on the victory side of life? The world passes away. But the worst is yet to come in verse 17. And here is the worst that is yet to come. Look at it carefully. But he that doeth the will of God abides forever. Now let's translate that and put it into the context. He that does the will of God abides forever. Listen to this carefully. Putting all of that together, this is a simple statement. To love the world in John 2 verse 15 fashion, you will lose the protection of the Father's will. It says it right there in verse 17. Love the world, love all of that. But he that loves God, he that doeth the will of God, abides forever. Now you've got to pick. You've got to choose. Do I want the eternal protection of the will of God? Or do I want the eternal destruction of that which passes away? And all of that feeds back into the matter of living the mission. If I'm going to live the mission, I've got one choice to make between two clear, simple statements in the Bible. Love the world the way John 3:16 tells us about it. And that's mission. That's God giving His only begotten Son. That whosoever believes in Him should not perish. And that's our mission, to get the message. And that's the way that I understand how I'm going to live my life. Or I got the choice of saying, wait a minute, God, I've got other desires and appetites and things, and I don't mind throwing away my life on these things that are so attractive in life, that fascinate my fleshly appetite. And after all, everybody else, quote and end quote, everybody else is not doing, but after all, everybody else is going after this and going after that, going after the other, going after the diamonds and the Wall Street reports and the athletic entertainment and the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride. And I need to, I'm a human, I need to be a part of that also. And God says, oh, help yourself. You can do it, but my order to you is not to do it, because you will lose the protection of my will. Are you enjoying the protection of the will of God? I remember a story that came out of World War II. A man by the name of Bill Wallace, he was a medical doctor, and he was sent to China by the Southern Baptist group of missions. And he stayed in China, he built a medical complex, and he had a staff of Christians working with him. And while they were there, the wars were going on, and the warplanes were flying over his medical mission, dropping bombs on the medical mission. I remember this one little statement that illustrates the protection. And Dr. Wallace was with one of his, some of his staff was running across the compound to get into a bomb shelter out of the way of the dropping bombs. And one of his staff members cried out to him out loud and said, Dr. Wallace, what is going to happen to us? And here was a statement, because he was not loving the world. And he had not forfeited the protection of the will of God. He's living in that perfection. He was loving in the fashion of John 3:16. My Father sent His Son that these Chinese should not perish but have everlasting life. He was living under the protection of the will of God. And when that staff member cried out to him, what's going to happen to us? His answer was simple. It doesn't really matter what happens to us. What really matters is whether or not that when it does happen, we be found doing the will of God. And what happens with this matter of living the mission is a matter of making sure that moment by moment I'm kept in His love. Moment by moment I'm protected by His will. Moment by moment I'm rejoicing in His purity. Moment by moment I have been freed from that which passes away. That's living the mission. And in living that mission, my heart, my mind, my effort, my will, my desire, my action is focused on why God the Father sent God the Son on the mission to which He said to us also, listen to this one, as my Father has sent me, fill in the blanks, even so I send thy will. God, that's not fair. Your Father had a right to send you the way He wanted to, but it's not right for you to tell me even so you sin. But we know that's not correct. We know that it is the right of the Savior. He looks at us and says, I loved you perfectly. I've forgiven your sin. I died for you. I love you. I have a beautiful plan for you. I have a beautiful will for you. Listen to it carefully. As my Father sent me, even so, send I you. Living the mission. Beautiful thing about all of that, it's a choice we can make. Take your pick. 1 John 3:16, love. 1 John 3:16, not 1 John 2. Don't love the world that it draws you life out of you and your passion. Make that decision. Make that commitment to say that mission's conference is a bit more challenging than I want. I don't know if I can live that mission. Can't. He can through you. Let's bow and pray, please. Father, we're grateful tonight that you have loved us with an everlasting love. You've cautioned us against loving the world in such a way that we can continue in that love that you have for us. We thank you, Father, for protecting us by your will, keeping us faithful to you. And I would pray, Father, that tonight we may stand firmly committed to loving you properly and loving the world properly. This is my prayer in my Savior's name. Amen.